Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Joe, I consider that rant a cautionary tale. I'm sure that was a glorious way to spend a day for you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I've done similar things too, and then I mean, it's just it is a cautionary tale. Hopefully, I'll listen to it.
I have my doubts.
Yeah, exactly.
I have my doubts for sure. Gentry, number one, do you think Tennessee's piping in crowd noise in Neyland Stadium? And number two, what did you make of that win for the Vols on Saturday?
No, I'll tell you, it has been kind of funny to hear. It's like it gets presented from the Alabama side as if it's just a fact, you know, like, of course, you know, everybody knows it. And, you know, I'll say this as somebody who's been going to games in that stadium for a long time. I feel like the crowd at Tennessee was louder 15, 20, 25 years ago than it is now. I feel like it's getting that way. I mean, it was really loud on the field at the end of that game. It was loud, certainly loud at the end of the 22 game against Alabama, but you know, Neyland Stadium's a loud stadium. There are some stadiums I'd say they might need to pipe in crowd noise. That's one where they don't.
Bryant Denny, perhaps?
Oh boy,
is that what you're saying, Gentry? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, been to games at Bryant Denny too, and I would consider Neyland I think Neyland is one of the I think it is the loudest stadium. When Tennessee is right, I think it is the loudest stadium in the SEC. I've been saying that for two decades. And, you know, there are others that have plenty of claim to that. But Tennessee is the loudest. I've never heard a stadium, arena, anything louder than Neyland Stadium at times. Now, they haven't always hit that here in the last couple of years, but you know, when you're that loud, I guess it's easy to say you're doing something untoward to get there. But as far as the actual win for Tennessee, I mean, a big win. I mean, you know, kind of an ugly game. I don't know why you stormed the field afterwards, just because I don't think it was this shocking upset or anything. I think Tennessee was just the better team. Alabama clearly has taken a step back without Saban, but you know, but from the standpoint of the season, and Tennessee had to have it for the playoff hopes, and they got it. Now they're in pretty good shape.
So we've got, this is a little bit of a boomer segment here. I'm very proud, you know, Gentry talking about how, you know, Neyland was louder 20 years ago, and these darn kids rushing the field. I agree, by the way. It was almost like a delayed rush, wasn't it? It was kind of like, all right, what the heck?
Here's what I think happened. I was standing over behind the end zone in front of where the recruits sit.
Yeah.
And I think that the first group that came on the field were the recruits, quite honestly. The recruits kind of emptied that section. I heard it before the end of the game. I mean, they were planning to do it. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because, okay, the school's going to get fined for this. But what do you do if it's a recruit? Do you, you know, are you grabbing them with security? And of course not. I mean, you want them to have a good experience. It's actually kind of an interesting topic to me.
Yeah, it really is.
That is.
It's pretty wild when you think about it that way. Gentry, in the second half, obviously, you know, Nico missed some throws in the first half that you can't miss, and they got to find a way to connect on those as they move forward. Did connect on them in the second half. The throw to Thornton was an unbelievable throw by him, the throw to Brazel in the end zone. Did you feel like Tennessee's offense took a step that could be sustainable in the second half of that game?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly want to figure out why things are always so slow early in games. I mean, this is a trend now that they look just so terrible offensively for a half. And, you know, it is I do think it's too early to be out on Nico. I've kind of thought that all along. The guy's got a lot of ability, and I think, you know, he showed it with a few of those throws. I feel like he still needs some time to grow. He is a young quarterback, and I think he's getting better as he does this. And the good news, I think, for Tennessee here in the coming weeks is he's going to have that time to grow. I mean, when you look at Tennessee's schedule, other than that trip to Georgia, there really isn't much on there that would scare you. And I feel like at this point, 10-2 almost seems like a minimum for this team. And I think there's, you know, as long as he stays healthy and they're able to kind of keep building some confidence, I feel like Nico is a talented guy who's going to be a good quarterback. It didn't come as easily this season as I think a lot of people would have thought, but there were a lot of reasons for that. You know, most notably the pass protection and some of the other things offensively didn't really help him, and that's going to have to help him along the way too.
Wow, a little Vanderbilt disrespect in here too, Gentry. I hope Diego was listening.
You know, that's the second strongest game left on their schedule. You look at that and you say a trip to Vanderbilt is trickier than probably games against Kentucky and Mississippi State at this point.
Yeah, but could be a good one. We'll see how those teams develop from here. Stilly is blowing me up, bitching about, you know, we're not talking enough Titans. So he's
let's please talk about them.
Titans for everybody. I mean, my gosh.
Exactly. Well, let's go to that though, Gentry. I do. Now, I didn't hear exactly his convoluted conspiracy theory, but he 100%, you know, and I knew it. He doesn't believe Brian Callahan on all the explanation of the Levis, you know, the timeline, the injury, playing him now, not playing him, all that stuff. Do you find the way the Titans have explained the Levis situation to be truthful? Do you buy it? And then also, where do you think it goes from here with the quarterback situation with the Titans?
It's hard to know. I don't have any reason not to buy it. I could see where, I mean, Joe, you and I were talking about this on Saturday. I mean, I could see where you could look at this situation and try to read into it as a conspiracy theory, but do I sit here knowing that no, Will Levis really is. I don't know. You know, I have no reason not to believe it. At this point, it's getting harder and harder to really want to care about what's going on just because that team is barreling very quickly toward apathy territory for the rest of the season. It would have been interesting had the first half against Buffalo, had that held up and they get real close or, you know, maybe even pull out something, you know, with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. I think it would have been pretty fascinating at that point to see what happens because at some point self-preservation is going to start kicking in with any team and you would risk losing, you know, the players on the team if Mason Rudolph was clearly better than Will Levis and you still kept going to Levis. You know, it didn't really end up that way. I mean, I don't think Mason Rudolph is going to be the answer here for that team. I think there's way, way too many questions on that team right now to think of, you know, the backup quarterback's going to be the answer. So to me, I've kind of been always on the side of why not put Levis out there. There's really no reason not to give him this season and see what happens. So, you know, you say, well, we want to put Rudolph out there and we want to find a way to do it. The you know, but the thing is, if Levis isn't hurt, he knows he's not hurt. So if the idea is to protect his confidence, then they're not doing that, certainly, if this is a deliberate move. So, yeah, I think he's probably
right. And why would he participate? That's just ridiculous. Like, he's going to participate in this? I mean, to me, that's absurd. He'd make a Mayo commercial and tell the world he's being held down.
Maybe well, so. It doesn't help the Titans to have him on the sideline. Why would it? You know, I mean, they put the other guy in there and lost by 24 points. So, I mean, what are you really accomplishing here?
So, Gentry, to that point, we all know the quarterback play has been, I would argue, the main problem for the Titans this year. There's a laundry list of problems that this team has. My question for you is, at what point do we become concerned, or maybe are we already there with a concern level, that the head coach may be one of those problems? I realize that we're 6 games into his tenure, so it's too early to write off the possibility that he could be a good coach in the National Football League. But I got to tell you, I've not been overly impressed by what I've seen to this point.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. You knew going into the season that you basically took a team of mercenaries and from the standpoint of you just collected players in free agency, threw them all together and said, all right, now be a team, right? You also have a head coach who had never been a head coach before, who was put in a leadership position in that room. you have a D coordinator, never been a D coordinator before, although I think Nar Wilson's done awfully well this year. But I feel like when you look at that team, it was always going to be an issue of when things started going poorly, who steps up? Whose voice is the one you hear in the room? And I don't know if a guy who hasn't been there as a head coach and came from a team, you know, I know the Bengals had some rough patches, but that was a team that was had things going pretty well here last couple of years. So you put him in a situation where things aren't going well. He's not dealt with that before. You got a team full of guys where everyone's kind of looking around like, okay, you know, who's the leader here? And but what told me that before the season was, you had everybody talking about how the leader on offense was Will Levis. That's not what you want. A guy who's played half a season in the NFL, when things start going south for him as they have, it hurts his ability to be a leader in that locker room. And right now I feel like this team, and I've felt it all along, hasn't been a cohesive team. And if you want to put that on the head coach, you can, but that's an awfully tough thing to ask somebody who has never done that job before, to come in and take all these personalities and all these new people and have them coalesce into a cohesive, strong team. I feel like that was always the strength of Mike Vrabel. The Titans didn't have a ton of talent, but they always seemed to outperform that talent. They were always stronger than the sum of their parts, and I feel like this team is weaker than the sum of its parts.
That's well put. So, Gentry, how would you evaluate the front office performance? Obviously, a lot of incompletes, but so far, some of these signings have been bad. And I'd like to get your number. Robbie's at 25%, front office fired, Kaharski's 6, I'm 2. Give us a number.
Oh, you had to ask me. You know, I heard that. I was listening to that conversation. I was like, what number would I put? I never came up with one. I'm closer to Robbie on this.
Thank you.
To be honest, I don't see how I agreed with Robbie. I don't see how you can look at how things have been run in that organization the last couple of years and think it's just that inconceivable they could make some changes. I might even go a little higher than 25.
Whoa.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Interesting. Interesting. My goodness.
I love it.
I'm here for all of it.
I just know, you know, the last couple of years, anytime we've sided on, she's not going to do it, you know what? She's done it.
That's true. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Gentry, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
All right, Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexro. A lot to get to there from Gentry. Love that conversation. We'll get to more of that coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.